சேத்தனம் ஜடம். வி சே திஸ் சேத்தனம். வென் யூ சே சேத்தனம் மீன்ஸ் கான்சியஸ். எ கான்சியஸ் திங் இஸ் சேத்தனம். அண்ட் ஜடம் மீன்ஸ் வி சே நான் லிவிங் திங். சேத்தனம் இஸ் அ லிவிங் திங். தட் இஸ் வை வி தேர்ஸ் அ கன்ஃபியூஷன். பட் ஜென்ரலி ஸ்பீக்கிங் வி கேன் சே வி யூஸ் த வேர்ட் ஜடம் டு ஆல்சோ மீன் தி அச்சேத்தனம். ஓகே, நான் லிவிங் திங் ஆல்சோ இண்டிகேட்டட் பை த வேர்ட் ஜடம். தட் இஸ் வை திஸ் தி டவுட் கம்ஸ். பட் வி ஹாவ் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் ஹியர் வெரி கிளியர்லி சேத்தனம். யூ கேன் இன்ஸ்ட் ஆஃப் யூசிங் தி ஜடம் யூ கேன் சே அச்சேத்தனம். And it is very difficult for us suddenly to understand all our bodies are in it. Our bodies are also in it, for that it's difficult to understand, because somebody pinches, you know very well, immediately you pull over like that, because it is not in it, you will say. It is not in it. In it means if I touch this, it doesn't say anything. If I come and do, you will kick me back, okay? Because that means... What is saying? The word, you will respond, don't we? You will respond. And then if I go and, no, suppose, this is what Swamiji used to say. Even if we go and pluck this now, sometimes we walk and talk, and suppose some branch comes like this, unconsciously talking with the friends under the trees, you pull this like this. Now that we pull and then pull the leaf like that. In fact, the tree feels it, but we do not know that, okay? And how you suppose, come on, if I stand next to you and pull your hair like this, somebody will come and pull you, how will you feel? You get irritated, no? Really speak, there's all himself in it. Like that. And you say, suppose an achetanam thing, no, when it is affected, it doesn't respond back. But the chetanam means it responds. That is why we say this. But really speaking, in the clear you have to understand the meaning of the word inertness separately. The chetanam, okay, is a response. The atmosphere. And achetanam doesn't respond. That's all. Otherwise, you know, the dead stump, you know, it doesn't just grow anything. Whereas in a tree full of life, this shade, it needs sun, and it just bends and goes. You can see on the bank of the rivers, how a coconut tree goes like this and all that. Now, where suppose it doesn't have, this is a shade, it needs sun and it will go like that. All the branches go. It's all responding. That is a different thing. But anyway, now we have to understand, chetanam or achetanam. Everything is inert means it does not know its own existence. Know that. That is why it does not know its own existence, but it is alive. But it is this anything which is alive, being alive, now is evident to what? Evident to you. Especially you means what? When you say you're human, you, human being, you know what is. That is evident, this is evident, everything is evident. Okay, light is there, that is there, sound is there, form is there, color is there, everything is evident to you. That is why in Sanskritam also, we also, our Shastram tells this. That is why. What is superior to the universe? What is superior? Is the universe superior or are you superior? Who is superior to what? Oh, universe is so vast, universe is so great, I am too small in the universe. That is fine, but the Shastram says no. Let the universe be so vast and big, so what? This universe will be as good as non-existent if you don't perceive it. Really? Now the universe becomes known, has status of being existent, only being perceived by you. Only when it is perceived. That is why they say, Indriyani paranyahuhu, Indriyebhya parammanaha, manasastu parabuddhihi, buddhe paratastu saha, buddhehe parahatu saha. Indriyani paraniyahu. Why indriyani? Oh, when you say object, what is this world? This world is nothing but world of objects. The world is nothing but world of objects. constituent of varieties of objects, perceivable through, perceptible through different senses. Different objects. And you can reduce all whole jagat into what? Reduce them into five types of objects. Now the world can reduce to what? Fivefold objects. Perceptible through five different senses. And every object becomes as good as non-existent if it is not perceived by proper, appropriate sense organ also. Perceived through. What big light? If without light, nothing can, you can see. But what this light? Everything comes to light because of this light. If a light is great, you can say, even that light, come on, close your eyes, where is the light? Light is, but for you the light is not there. Understand? So for you, the light becomes non-existent if you don't see it. Understand? Light is, but for you the light becomes non-existent. Therefore, that is why, similarly for the hearing power, the sound is, if the sound is not perceived, not heard, the sound becomes what? Unheard sound is as good as non-existent. Unsmelt, no, fragrance or, I mean, any flavor is as well as non-existent. Untasted taste is what? Unknown taste is as well as non-existent. No? That's why we say this, all these sense objects have, all the sense objects mean the whole jagat, which is experienced, which is known, which is perceived, and then in five different forms, those five different objects, you know, has the status of being an existent only when it is perceived. What is dependent now? Tell me. The power, seeing power is not dependent on the light to be the seeing power. The seeing power is not dependent on the light to be the seeing power. Whether the light is there, perceives or not, still seeing power is the seeing power. This job is only to see what is. Understand? I need to see what is. Oh, light is, sees the light. Light is not, it sees the darkness. What about the seeing power? Seeing power is not dependent on the light or the darkness or what is seen. But what is seen is dependent on the seeing power. Similarly, hearing power also. The power of hearing, sukshma, indriyam, no, karna indriyam, shrotra indriyam, is not dependent on the sound which is heard. The sound is, it reports to the mind. The sound is not there, see, still the hearing power is there. But the sound is dependent on the hearing power. Look at this, what is dependent on what? To be heard. Understand, sound is, hearing power is not there. Then the sound is what? As good as non-existent. Amazing, look at this, please think this way. Because hearing power is not dependent on the sound for it to be a hearing power. But for the sound to be the sound, no, even that it may be sound, it is as good as non-existent if it is not heard. To have the status of being an existent, it is sound. To be known, it must be heard. Understand? So dependent. Similarly, the smell is dependent on your power of smelling. Every object is dependent on the respective sense organ, the sense power. Therefore we say indriyani parani ahuhu. All these senses are superior to the objects which are perceived, because senses are not dependent on the objects, whereas objects are dependent on the sense powers for them to have the status of being existent. And you say indriyani parani ahuhu, indriyebhyah param manaha. Oh, mind is said to be superior to the, you know, even in sense powers. Why? Because, you know, even the sense power, the seeing power may be there, the hearing power may be there, and the powers may be there. Suppose mind is not there, attention of the mind is not there with the senses, then the sense power is there, it is as well as non-existent. You know why? If it does not do the function of seeing, then it is as well, whether it is there, it's useless. It's as well as non-existent. I have very, very good, nice seeing power. I have distortion-free vision. I can see everything very well. And then there's light also. There are so many people sitting here. And you're all looking at me and listening to me, expecting me to talk. And I am lost in something. You all have come 2:30, sitting in front of me. I haven't started the class. I'm thinking. Completely lost in something. I tell you, I'm not blind. Excellent vision I have. But, do I see? Please tell me. So many people are sitting, you're all asked as non-existent. Okay. Light, asked as non-existent. Why? Is the seeing power there? Asked as non-existent. Seeing power is asked as non-existent. You know why? Mind is totally gone elsewhere. Amazing, isn't it? Mind has to be with the seeing power. Only then seeing power is seeing power. Seeing power to have the status of being an existent, it is dependent on what? My mind. Attention of the mind. Therefore, indriyebhyah param manaha. Whereas mind is not dependent on, okay, the sense power to be the mind. It can be with the sense power, can be anywhere. Manasustu para buddhihi. Now, buddhehe paratastu saha. And we say, what about, now, and but this knowledge, okay, where the mind is, where the mind is not, and suppose somebody comes and, Swamini, we're all sitting here, come on, what are you doing? Talk to us. Then I come back. Now then I say, oh, sorry. Then I can say, where are you then? I was thinking of something else. How do you know? There's knowledge. So the buddhi alone knows where the mind goes, okay? Even that buddhi, that knowledge exists where? Not outside of awareness. Understand? There is awareness of where the buddhi is, where the mind is, where the mind is not. So awareness is not dependent on the mind. Awareness is not dependent on senses. Awareness is not dependent on sense objects. Whereas sense objects are dependent on the sense powers. Sense powers are dependent on the mind. Mind is dependent on the awareness. Like that, look at this. Who is superior? We always ask, I see, therefore it is. The world is. We say, it is, therefore I see. You can say that also, no? It's a bit confusing thing. It is, therefore I see means what? In fact, I see, therefore it is. Understand? I know, therefore it is. If I do not know, if I do not see, even if it is asked as not being there. Understand? As was non-existent. That is why the beautiful mantra, which I taught you many times in classes, some different contexts, I mentioned this. In Mundakan Katha, we have this. Natatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam nema vidyuto bhanti kuto yamagnihi tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. When you say here, you know, every indriyam is a devaha. I told you, devaha itself means that which shines is devaha. Now what is devaha? The meaning of the word devaha means divyati iti devaha. Understand? That which shines is devaha. What is that which shines by itself is the real deva. Okay? The Lord. You say, the awareness by shines by itself. Anything which shines is deva means what? That is why everything which shines, you know, is a deva really speaking for us. That is devata also we say. And here the sense us are devas, and which illumine the lights. Devaha means light also, which shines by itself, tells that which brings to light other things. Even Tamil, I told you in the class, I don't know whether in what for class I said, Tane Vilangi Matade Vilakkudal Vilak. Understand? The Deepaha. Again, no, Deepaha is also the beautiful word, because that which shines by itself, it brings to light everything else. That is what is Deepaha. Swayam Prakashate Anyan Prakashayate Iti Prakashaha. That which shines by itself, which brings everything to light, is the Prakashaha, light also. Similarly here, all these sense powers bring given respective object to light. Therefore, everything is like a light. All these five lights which illumine the given object, now again shine after the other light, the mind, light of mind. And this light of mind always what? Shines after some other light, that is awareness. Therefore, everything, that one light which shines by itself alone, illumining all these lights, now shine as everything. Tasya bhasa idam sarvam vibhati. All these varieties of things which shine, in fact, shine after that awareness. That is why we say, swayam bhati anubhati. It's very anubhanam swayam bhanam. Anubhati means shining after. Swayam bhati means that which shines by itself. Hey, what is that which shines by itself? Suppose even this in Ramana Maharishi's question somewhere, this comes. Ramana Maharishi simply, he asks the question, what is that? What is this? What is this? What do you see in this right room? Simple equation, okay? It's based on this verse only. What do you see here? I see many objects. How do you see many objects in this room here? Because there is light. I see all of them in the light. But how do you know there is light? How do you know there is light? Because I see through my eyes. Therefore, what is the light which lights up this light? My seeing power is the light which lights up this light. And what is the light? How do you know that you have seeing power? I know. That means what? There's a knowledge of light to your seeing power being there. Therefore, mind is the light which lights up the seeing power. What is the light which lights up the mind? How do you know that you know? How do you know that you know? Therefore, what is the light which lights up even that your mind, the buddhi, awareness? What is the light which lights up the awareness? No other light. Understand? That is why anything which shines after something, when we say anubhati, swayam na bhati. Why? I come back to this now. Only one thing is swayam bhati. Understand? It is swabhanu. Swabhanu means what? Swayam bhati means what? That which shines by itself. Swayam bhati. Only awareness alone is swayam bhati. Everything else shines after. In fact, you can reduce the whole thing into two, and it is two into one. Whole jagat is two. Okay? If the whole jagat is material products, what? Not aware of its own existence, jada prapanchaha. And so now you know that. And then what is all these material products, including your antakkarana, becomes what? Now reduce it to the cause. What is that? What is which has become the whole, this, everything? Subtle and gross? We can say the matter in its original subtlest form. What is this matter? Matter again is what? Inert in its nature. Where does it exist? So it is also what now? Evident. What is the evidence for the matter being there? Awareness. Why awareness is awareness? Being aware is the nature of the vastu, nature of the reality. Understand now? Now reducing two into one also. Now we say here, that is why, swayam bhati anubhati. Matter shines after consciousness. Consciousness shines by itself. Swayam, what is swayam bhati? Consciousness. What is anubhati? Matter. Therefore all the material products also anubhati. And here we say, subtler, it reflects subtler the matter, material manifestation, it reflects consciousness. Can reflect consciousness. Therefore, what we say, the grasses the vastu, it borrows consciousness from the subtle, a conscious being. A gross conscious being borrows its consciousness from the subtle conscious being. A subtle conscious being borrows its consciousness from the consciousness directly. Light. Understand now? That's all. Therefore, we can't say, so what is anubhati, what is swayam bhati? Evidence bhati, swayam bhati. Shines by itself. Evident anubhati. Awareness swayam bhati means shines by itself. Understand now? And matter shines after awareness. That's all. I want to make it clear. And this question comes, is there consciousness in non-living things? In the table, the mountain, the river, and the water, and also living plants, all these trees and all. Is there consciousness? I tell you, we already seen. Awareness, there's no place where awareness is not. Understand? Everything that awareness is there everywhere. Consciousness is there everywhere. But it is not. Consciousness being there is not manifest. It's not manifest. For the consciousness to manifest as knowledge, it has to manifest as knowledge. The pure awareness has to manifest as what now? It has to become manifest means, thing is, there must be subtle reflecting medium. Understand? Wherever there is no sukshma, there is no life. Wherever there is no life, you don't see consciousness manifesting. Consciousness is, but is not manifest. That is why everything thunulum irupan, thurumbulum irupan. Understand? We say that. Look at this. We say, that's why Lal Narasimha came. And this Hiranyakashipu was so angry. Height of arrogance. Where is this? No? The mind which cannot stand this. Where is Ishvara? Where is the Lord? Come on, tell this little boy, Prahlada, the pure little boy, small boy, who really had put up with a lot of problems with his own father. Can you believe? He politely says, no, he's there everywhere. Where is this Lord? Lord is there also in this post. No? Not in the smallest peck of dust also Lord is there. No, and then we have to show how it is. Pure awareness, the reality of the whole jagat is there and everything pervading. Only thing is, it is not manifest. It's not manifest because subtle is not there. And to show that, and it has to come in form of Narasimha and come and tear the ignorance of, when you understand awareness is all pervasive. When you know buddhi, your own buddhi, knowledge takes place, okay? You know your own buddhi when you discover the knower. When you discover the discoverer, know the knower. Who this knower is, when you know who the knower is, then what happens? You understand, and then having understood it, understanding how it is nityaha, shuddhaha, buddhaha, sarvagataha, etc., etc., all these things by studying again, becomes very clear. Then, this is what is what. In quantum becomes very clear, then is this Hiranyakashipu, the ignorance is, he tears the ignorance. Understand? Ignorance is. That is why this doubt need not be there. Where awareness is. Velipadu illa. Unarvu is there. Okay, its expression is not there in non-living things. And then different levels of manifestation also. Different degrees of manifestation also. Degree of awareness, the manifestation differs depending upon the upadhi. Suppose a tree upadhi, insect upadhi, look at this. Insect upadhi, even the subtle is there. Sukshma is there. Now all living things take this. Amoeba upadhi, paramecium upadhi, unicellular organism upadhi, understand now? And big elephant upadhi, monkey upadhi, worm upadhi, tree upadhi, so many varieties of upadhis, human upadhi, so many upadhis are there. Actually, in every upadhi, there is manifestation of knowledge. Okay, knowledge is manifest. That what is that which is manifest as knowledge is pure awareness. Understand? The pure knowledge alone is manifest as knowledge. Arivahi parambarule anaitthilum arivaha thondriyurathu. Understand? The pure knowledge alone is manifest as the knowledge. Pure knowledge being manifest as the knowledge in every being. That is why we say the whole jagat is manifestation of knowledge, means that reality which is of the nature of knowledge is the reality. I mean the Ishwara, the Lord for us. And the whole jagat being manifestation of knowledge, the whole jagat is looked upon as Ishwara. Okay? Oh, everything is Ishwara, there is nothing which is not Bhagavan here for us. We do not see anything which is not Bhagavan here. Everything is Ishwara. And that is why we say, and to see that, okay, Bhagavan Swarupam. I want to see Bhagavan Swarupam. Bhagavan Swarupam means what? Swarupam of the reality. Nature of the reality. How it is there as knowledge. Even if you don't see Swarupam as Swarupam, you can see the manifestation of the Swarupam. That is why in every living being, I told you many times this, to understand the concept of Ishwara, wherever any living being implies what? Many functions happening in every being. Okay, there are many functions which happen in every living being. Function of respiration, function of digestion, function of respiration, all these functions are happening. And every organ also functions, we say here. So if I see these functions are, a tree is alive, it is not dead. I see the life, not tree, the life, the tree full of life. Because lots of the spring, especially in the spring season, you see all fresh leaves and fresh flowers, they're full of life. Spring, now it's called Vasanta Rutu. In Sanskrit we call it Vasanta Rutu. A big, Vasanta Rutu itself, a big description. Vasanta is personified as, big man, very handsome man. No, and who is a tricky person? We had Kumar Sambhavam, we have lots of traditions by Kalidasa. Very beautiful description we have. In this Vasanta Rutu, this spring season, and every plant is full of life. You can see this. And you can see wherever there is life, any living being you see, where there is life, we can understand. You don't need to see through your physical eyes. Does the tree drink water? I don't see the tree drinking water. I don't see the tree breathing. I don't see the tree doing anything else. The tree is always standing. Doesn't bend. No, it's not the way we do things. But still, we are intelligent enough to appreciate there's so many functions constantly, continuously happening in any living being, non-stopping, okay? It is happening. There is absorption of water. There is, there's photosynthesis, and there is respiration. And also the trees change. The night times, when there is no sun, it starts inhaling oxygen, exhaling carbon dioxide. The whole day, the whole of daytime, it has only carbon dioxide, not the oxygen, because for the sake of photosynthesis and collect sort of food. When there is sunlight, it makes use of the sunlight and this, it collects the food in all its green leaves, even colorful leaves also in this country, not like India and other places. So like that, the tree survives, the tree lives, and all these functions are happening. There is the functions. Similarly, in the smallest insect, we see the life. So all these functions are happening means that our own system, we see these functions are happening. Which function does not imply intelligence? Tell me. Every function which is happening in our system, our heart implies the circulation, function of circulation, reveals the intelligence. Our lungs reveals intelligence. Our kidneys, my God, reveal intelligence. Every function reveals intelligence being involved there. Therefore, we say, without being instructed. Look at this. Without being instructed, involuntarily, a function takes place. The involuntary functions are taking place means, for that function, how come? How was this function? How does this function take place? Who is instructing? Who is ordering? Who is guiding? The function is taking place. Amazing, isn't it? That is why for any function to take place in a given order, okay, definitely there must be knowledge. And then there's also given order. The kidneys function differently, lungs function differently, heart functions differently, and every small organism also, there also functions. Suppose amoeba, always it develops and then it divides and becomes so too many, my God. Within a second, fraction of a second, it multiplies into crores and crores. How does it happen? All these functions imply what? Every function really implies an order involved in that. There must be definitely an order. There is an order. Do we need to go and study this? We understand this. So wherever there is life, there are functions. Wherever there is function, every function implies the order involved in that function. And wherever there is an order, there must be knowledge backing it. Always an order is backed by knowledge. Because without being without any instruction, something is happening means knowledge is back in the, there is knowledge. There is knowledge required on the part of the heart to function, okay, to pump the blood continuously, constantly. This knowledge, okay, the part of the lungs to expand and contract, to take, inhale oxygen, to exhale carbon dioxide. There is definitely, who's instructing? There's knowledge. There's knowledge, adequate knowledge is there, manifest. Understand? The tiniest ant also. Now, Swamiji always likes mosquitoes. Mosquito, who teaches mosquito? Go and sit at the back, at your back, and then to put a syringe and take in from all the blood from your body. Who teaches? Every small little ant, without being taught, without being fed, it finds its own food. Crawls slowly, the hunter gets stand proud of this bed, and then it walks. It finds its own tiniest, particle food. Very big job for it, And then it does its own job. It lives its own life. No living being is complaining in this universe except us. No way. Everybody lives its own life. A bird lives a bird's life. Monkey lives a monkey's life. Frog lives a frog's life successfully, very successfully, without any complaining, finding fault for situation around, people around, anything around. Happily they live their lives without being taught, without being instructed. That means every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. You have to remember this. Every being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life means, what is that knowledge? What is that knowledge that is there in every being? That knowledge is manifestation of the pure knowledge. Understand? That is how Ishvara is manifest in every being as knowledge. Ishvara is manifest as knowledge. He said, in that manifestation of knowledge is Ishvara. We have to say this. So what is that? Do you think without awareness, this so-called reality, not so-called, this reality, the pure awareness for which being aware is it's the swarupam, knowing is it the swarupam, the pure knowledge, the pure consciousness, this reality alone is manifest as knowledge, okay? At different levels. That's why people said different levels of, you know, levels of, okay, knowledge in different, keeping in the upadis, knowledge is manifest. You don't see pure awareness as pure awareness there, but you understand pure knowledge being manifest knowledge, as manifest knowledge. Is it clear? Do you understand the difference between manifest knowledge and the pure knowledge? The pure knowledge alone is manifest as the knowledge backing the order involved in all the functions of all the living beings. Similarly, the same awareness is manifest as knowledge in non-living things also. But we cannot understand the pure consciousness being manifest as knowledge in non-living things. Whereas in living things, you can understand the pure consciousness being manifest as knowledge. Yes, sir. That is why we say order also, that is this law of karma which we talk about is not outside of this. That is why pure knowledge is the reality. Pure knowledge is the Lord for us. The consciousness is the Lord actually. That is why the manifestation of that knowledge, the whole Jagat is manifestation of knowledge, means the whole Jagat is looked upon as the Lord Ishvara here. And wherein the order involved in this, the law and order, the law, universal law and order, anything done, knowingly, unknowingly, intentionally, unintentionally, however it is done, that any action really has to result in a reaction, has to result, cause some effect there. Therefore, that karma, law of karma, is the universal natural law and order, within the realm of which, okay, all these laws which determine the results of actions, fruits of actions, exist as part and parcel of the whole, and which you can't see through physical eyes, and which you understand the laws being manifest. This way, every law is, everything is Ishvara, means the law is Ishvara. Every natural law is Ishvara. The law ordained prasadam is Ishvara. The karma is Ishvara. Understand, karma phalam is Ishvara. Right action is Ishvara, wrong action is Ishvara, punyam is Ishvara, papam is Ishvara, pain is Ishvara, pleasure is Ishvara, good is Ishvara, evil is Ishvara. And for the good, understand, anugraha for the wrong action, the right action is Ishvara. The nigraha, okay, punishment for the wrong action also is Ishvara. Everything is Ishvara. We don't say something, evil is not God, no. Everything whole is Ishvara here. And as a human being, you are the free will, buddhi shakti, to know what is right, what is wrong. Don't want pain, don't do the wrong, want only pleasure, do the right, buddhi. You're blessed with the buddhi shakti. Willpower is there, knowledge of values is there, you can always choose. You have choice. That's why man creates his own destiny means what? Man creates his own destiny means what? Your choice. You have the choice. As a human being. That is why no other being needs to worry about punya papa. There are no punya papa. There's no problem with other. Other animals are happy. A lion can happily go and kill a deer. No problem. It doesn't attract any punya papa. There's no self-consciousness. There's no punya. There's no papa. There's no nothing. Okay, all these problems are only with us, the human beings. That is why willpower, the knowledge of values, both are given to you. Then when your actions go by dharma governed, then you have discretion in action, this karma yoga. Again, certain things we say, that is why here we talk about, that is why worship also. The worship and prayer play a very, very important role here. This knowledge is not it's a lifetime project. This knowledge, self-knowledge. Self-knowledge means knowledge of the reality. Knowledge of the reality means knowledge of the Lord. Now, this mind has to discover its own truth. That's all simple thing. And for which the mind needs, because as a body it has its own dharma, mind has its own dharma, the other biological and physical, you know, emotional, the requirements which are natural, which you can't undo anything, which can't, you can't go against anything. You can't, no, you can't really rub the nature, rub against the nature, to go with the swim, you know, along with the current, not against the current. Therefore, that's why the karma has to be done. All those things have to be taken care of. And his mind has to discover means. And that's why the mind needs a lot of time to get itself equipped, no? I mean, prepared for this vision of its own. No? Swakiya darshanam, swatma darshanam. No, it has to see itself. I don't know whether you in Sri Lanka on Tamil New Year's Day, you have this Bhagavad darshanam. Do you have that? Bhagavad darshanam? Do you do that on Tamil New Year's Day? Actually, in Kerala, on Vishu Day, because I'm from very close to Palghat, Kerala, I know this climate was very close to Palghat place. And see, on every Tamil New Year's Day, first day of the New Year, we call Chitrakani, when it's called Vishu. And that day, main thing they had to do is Bhagavad darshanam. Know what is Bhagavad darshanam means? People arrange the previous, the eve of New Year, what they'll do, they collect all varieties of fruits. No, especially jackfruits and mangoes and all sorts of fruits will collect and put them together, and then we'll keep all the grains also, paddy and all this, no? All these lentils we eat, varieties, all sorts of food, everything we'll keep, not the uncooked, all the, what is the agricultural, no? Products we bring and keep them together, a big thing, and keep lots of colorful flowers and lots of coins and rupees, everything we keep together, gold coins also, anything, and silver, gold and all, support, anything precious we have, everything we put together, and we keep a nice mirror. Nice mirror. So if you see, the mirror will reflect all those which are, no, placed in front of the mirror. And next day morning, all of us knew a day, when we get up from sleep, nobody will see anybody else's face. Okay, we'll all go closing our eyes. And then we should keep such a way, we'll all go and see that. That stands for the whole Jagat. Colorful, beautiful, everything is given to you. All that you need for this life, you are blessed with. You see the whole Jagat there. Then slowly you take your head and see the mirror there. And you also already will put the garland for the mirror. You would have garlanded the mirror. When you look at it, you will see the mirror will reflect as if you have been garlanded. Bhagavad darshanam. Seeing yourself is seeing Bhagavan. That is Bhagavad darshanam. Really. Seeing yourself is seeing Bhagavan. Not the physical body, okay? Just the symbolic. It's called Bhagavad darshana means the mirror, you have put the garland for a mirror and you have to slowly see the whole Jagat as Ishvara. And then what is this? What are all these things? What is the truth of all these things? You see yourself, your own reflection there. And the garland is put to whom? The reflection, no? For you. Bhagavad darshanam. So Atma darshanam eva Bhagavad darshanam. Now, that means, that is why we say, in the worship also you understand. Until this jnanam takes place, we worship the issue, worship the Lord, and we pray to the Lord. So prayer, we know the law of karma. What is the law of karma? Law of karma is something which exists backed by the manifest knowledge of the pure, and the manifest knowledge, which is the pure knowledge, that is why, which is not a blabbering idea, blabbered idea, is really a fact. Okay, the pure awareness, the pure existence backs this, you know, this order, universal natural law and order, you know, which is actually in the form of the law of karma, and which is really linked with all the laws which exist as part and parcel of all the physical, all the laws which are being discovered, which have been already discovered, which are yet to be discovered. I tell you, any law which is to be discovered in future is not outside of this law structure. universal, no, the law and order structure. Everything is there, which is backed by the manifest knowledge, which is nothing but manifestation of, the manifest knowledge is what? Manifestation of the knowledge, the pure knowledge, which is there already. Understand? And what is that law say? A nothing, no action really becomes a waste. Every action definitely produces a phalam. Therefore, what is prayer here? Prayer is an action. Praying. If we say praying is what? Praying is vendudal. We never pray for something what you already have. You always pray for something what you do not have, or what you feel not enough. You pray for something what you do not have, or what you feel is not enough. Then you pray for that. The prayer is an action. If prayer is an action, then it should produce what? Produce a phalam. Therefore, prayer is definitely efficacious. We don't need to doubt the efficacy of prayer. And this prayer again, okay, if I'm praying to, means who am I praying to? Am I praying to the Lord? Who am I praying to? Yes, you are praying to the Lord. If you say I'm praying to something else, then it's a problem. I am praying to the Lord. And suppose now we have understood everything is Ishvara. All that is, there is only Ishvara. There is no second reality. There is no second thing other than Ishvara. That means, what is this? What is this? How can I pray to the Ishvara? You, the one who is praying to, is Ishvara. Okay? The act of praying also is Ishvara. The fruit of the prayer also is Ishvara. And the law which determines the fruit of any action, including the act of praying, also is Ishvara. The one who is prayed to is also Ishvara. Understand? That means, what should you say? Auto-suggestion. Prayer is an auto-suggestion. Strong will. Okay? This auto-suggestion, 100% you can take it for sure. Prayer is an auto-suggestion, but not simply auto-suggestion, will involve auto-suggestion. That is why you are praying to the self. I don't want to say yourself. You are praying to the self of everything which you are not away from, which you are not distant from, which are not other than. Understand? That's why prayer is a will-involved auto-suggestion. It's a karma, therefore it produces phalam. So any action being time-bound, it should produce what? Any phalam also definitely time-bound. So prayer can get you what? Artha, kama, dharma, everything. What the action cannot do is what? Moksha. Moksha cannot be the result of karma. But you can do one thing intelligently. You can pray for jnanam. You can pray for jnanam. Praying for the knowledge of... You can't pray for the reality. No way. You're already the reality. Very, very, very careful. You don't pray for the reality. Oh Lord, I want the reality. Bhagavan cannot bless you. You cannot be given reality again. Already you are reality. Understand? This way you can pray for the knowledge of the reality which you are already. Okay? You can pray for the knowledge of the reality. The one who prays for the knowledge of the reality, okay, is the real devotee. Akandi Shastra. Like you can pray for anything. You can. I don't say if you pray for something else, you're not a devotee. Okay? But you're a real devotee, only you pray for the knowledge of the reality. Along with what? Praying for everything, artha, kama, dharma, also no problem. If you pray for only artha and kama, you are a religious person. If you pray for artha, kama, also for knowledge, you are a spiritual person. Understand? Therefore we say, prayer. So as long as you pray for everything and anything other than the knowledge of the reality, the result will be what? Result of prayer will be what? Time bound. Binding. Binding result. Freeing result will be when you pray for knowledge intensely, fervently, knowing the value of knowledge, knowing the efficacy of prayer, living a life of dharma, pursuing artha kama in conformity with dharma, you also fervently pray for jnanam. Merely praying will not give. Your prayer will help you to come across, to stumble upon a teacher, the mind is inclined for jnanam, all pratibandhas will be cleared in the mind. Okay? That is how it will bless you. Don't think, you simply pray for jnanam all the time, I don't need to go. No. It will help you. You will be placed in a conducive atmosphere where you can pursue jnanam, that will gain jnanam. Then when you pray for jnanam, when you pray for the knowledge of the reality, then you are praying for Bhagavan. Praying for the knowledge of reality is praying for knowledge of Bhagavan. Then you ask for Bhagavan. So, prayer will be continuous as long as you ask for artha kama dharma from Bhagavan. Prayer will come to an end when you ask for artha kama dharma along with knowledge of Bhagavan. Prayer will come to an end. It's the culmination of prayer. How long should we pray means? This is what I'm saying. How long you should be praying, now you know. So, praying for the knowledge of the reality will put an end to the very act of praying. Why? You don't need to pray anymore. Once you're blessed with jnana, you don't need to pray for anything else. Then, that means what about the worship? What about worship? We say, worship is not praying. In worship, prayer is implied. In prayer, prayer is directly expressed. Okay? Oh Lord, please bless me with this. Please bless me with clear thinking, right perception. Please bless me with knowledge. Please bless me with, all the infrastructure I need for this life. You can pray artha, kama, everything. Pray for everything. Just direct. Whereas in worship, you don't pray directly. Prayer is implied. But that means what? That's why you have to use two words, prayer and worship. Worship is inclusive of prayer. In prayer, there's no worship. Okay? In worship, prayer is there. Whereas in prayer, there's no worship. Why? Because worship is, in Tamil also we say vayipadudal. The vendudal is different, vayipadudal is different. And we say worship is an act of offering. Praying is an act of asking, okay, asking for something. Here offering, there you are asking. Look at this. In praying, you ask for something. In worship, you are giving something. Worship is an act of offering. Prayer is an act of begging for something. Difference. One is that it is giving, that it is taking. So worship is an act of offering means. Then you have to say, that means who am I offering to? Who am I offering to? I am worshipping the Lord means I am offering something to the Lord. again the same question comes, if Lord is everything, all that is, there is only reality, everything is the Lord, then how can I offer to anything to the Lord? Because you know very well, the one who is offering, the offerer is the Lord, the act of offering is the Lord. Whatever ingredients, whatever objects which are being offered to the Lord, like coconut or something, or no, candlelight or ordinary light lamp, anything which is offered also is what? The Lord. The one who is offered to is also the Lord. And then this worship, the act of offering also is what? Again, an action. Definitely it produces a phalam. That phalam also is the Lord. And that law which determines the result of that action also is what? The Lord. That means, what is this? How is it possible for, if everything is Lord, there's a second thing means, who is the offerer? Who is the one who is offered it to? Which is the Lord who is offered it to? That doubt comes. And here, in this way, there cannot be real act of offering. There cannot be real offering in this act of offering. It's only symbolic. Okay? This act of offering is a symbolic. So worship is a symbolic act of offering. When you say symbolic act of offering, means through which you convey something which is very subtle, which is deeply felt in your mind. Your love, you can say all those words, but mainly your, no, the expression of your humility, expression of your gratitude, gratefulness. Therefore, this act of offering is in fact a symbol, the symbolic action, and through which you express your gratefulness to the Lord. Why do you feel grateful to the Lord? Why should you feel grateful to the Lord? Because it's the only amazing, where Bhagavan is one, we say all that is, there is only Ishvara, we say. But the same culture again tells here, every phenomenon, natural phenomenon is a devata. It is a manifestation of the same reality. Like how your body is, everything in this universe is manifestation of that only reality. That means every devata, everything in this universe contributes for the well-being of everything else. Okay, this everything is, we say, what is indispensable here? I tell you, every devata is indispensable, okay, indispensable here. Because nothing is indispensable. Everything is really important here. Sun, moon, stars, all the five elements, the pranas, okay, every devata contributes. That's why we say devata means vana devata, vriksha devata, grama devata, bhumi devata, which is not devata. Every phenomenon has the function such a way that it can't, being what it is. Look at this, sun being what it is, it contributes for the whole universe to keep going. The moon contributes for the whole Jagat to keep going. Stars do contribute for Jagat to keep going. We do not understand really how much they all contribute. The wind contributes, okay? Air contributes, river contributes, ocean contributes. Mountains do contribute wherever they are standing. Okay, every phenomenon contributes. Being what it is, it contributes for the well-being of the Jagat. To keep everything in its own place, everything has to function the way it is. Therefore, every phenomenon is a devata, manifestation of consciousness, illumination of consciousness. That's why we say everything is a devata here. Contributes means every devata also we bow to. Why? Because everything stands for what? Okay? We say every devata, whichever devata I bow to. I bow to sun, I bow to moon, I bow to stars, I bow to any phenomenon here. No, that is why we say, Akashat patitam toyam yatha gacchati sagaram sarvadeva namaskaraha keshavam prati gacchati. No, keshavam means what? We mean the Lord actually. So, the different, whichever devata you worship, ultimately it goes to the Ishvara only. Bhagavan only. Now, water drops fall from this, all go to one ocean. Similarly, here, whichever devata you bow to, your namaskara goes to ultimately to the reality, which is manifest as everything here. Not one. Therefore, here, we say, all the devatas contribute. That is why, as an individual, as a self-conscious being, no other being other than me is as intelligent as me. I'm the only intelligent being in the universe. Look at it, we feel proud of his here. As a human being, the most intelligent being, and the most sophisticated being, and I have the responsibility, and I know I am, I know what is I am, I know what I am blessed with, I know how life will be if these devatas go on strike without contributing anything. Therefore, my God, sun, moon, earth, mother earth, even if you don't grow many things here, the whole winter you have to store food and keep here. For the whole of winter you have to store and keep food here, but still for which the whole of summer you must have got lots of food from, imagine how much my existence, my survival, my life to keep going, for me to keep going, for food I am dependent on the contribution of devatas. Basic thing, come on, tell me, without food what can move ahead? Nothing. Basic food is very, every Rodri is laughing. I know that always I'm giving much importance for food. I always give importance for food, I tell you. And then, without food, what can move on? Therefore, food, who will give? Imagine. Food is from the nature, devatas. Food. And once you food, the shelter, where do we live? Who contributes? Again, devatas. Clothing. I tell you, all that we need, all our scientific development, technological development and discoveries and contributions and all our flourishing of everything is completely dependent on the basic thing called food, which is from the devatas. That is why we cannot produce anything on our own. Our buddhi, we can, we can discover technologies to improve everything. You can avoid, all our new machines can replace manual work, but still you can't make the earth yield, the grain. Our machines cannot produce grains. To till the land, you can use the machine, but still, for the plant to grow and for the paddy to come out, the wheat to come out, my God, we are really dependent on the grace of devatas. That is why we become very humble and then we feel so grateful for all the contributions. Then, so I enjoy so much. I take so much from this jagat. Therefore, and as a token of my acknowledgement, of their contribution for my well-being, I just offer something, a small coconut, a small candle. I light a small candle, a small light. We offer, I light it and offer it. In whatever way you worship, you kneel down or you bow to or fall flat, doesn't matter, you do offer. This is an offering, sort of offering. And here, we offer here, through this act of offering, and we have many different forms of worship also in India. Either you perform a fire ritual, or you have to do abhishekam, or you take a small things, or every day light, at home you light a lamp or something. Through this act of symbolic act of offering, whatever you offer, that offering is to express your gratefulness, not say humility to Bhagavan, acknowledging the contribution of Bhagavan in the home of devatas for your well-being. Understand? This is what is worship. When you worship, you also pray what? Oh Lord, you have blessed me with everything. Please always bless me with everything. Thank you very much for blessing me with everything. And also, don't forget to bless me in future. Anytime I need anything. That is why in worship, prayer is implied. In prayer, there is no worship. In worship, prayer is implied. You have to understand that. That's why people are not fools to worship, to offer anything. But when with this heartfelt, expression of gratitude must be there. That is why this is worship and this is prayer, and both these karmas are effective. And here in act, this is worship also, we can say, as long as you offer so many things to Bhagavan, no, in worship you are offering so many things to Bhagavan, and you, whereas when you offer yourself to Bhagavan, worship comes to an end. And when you ask for so many things from Bhagavan, no, prayer continues. When you ask for Bhagavan, prayer comes to an end. Either you give yourself to Bhagavan or ask for Bhagavan, there becomes the prayer and worship come to an end. Pray, giving yourself to Bhagavan means what? Asking for Bhagavan means what? You come back and see, Radhaji is showing his watch. So better go and have a tea and come back.